Parshas Vayetze is a fundamental, a parsha of one of the most important parshas of the Torah. Many of the Yesodos of Yadus, the pillars of the foundation of Klal Yisrael, rest in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, we learn about the Beis Hamikdash. Yaakov Avinu makes the neder, im yil kimimodi. What more do you want? This is the makor of the Beis Hamikdash. In this week's parasha, we learn about the shiftikah, the birth of the shiftikah, with the exception of Binyamin. The shiftikah come into the world in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we have the zuchus of Rachel Imenu, Rachel who gave the simonim to her sister Leah. And it's only in that zchus, Rochel mevake al boneho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in that zchus I will guarantee there will be the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi. We have here in this week's parasha so many yesoidos that the fabric of Klal Yisrael is built upon what we learn in this week's parasha. Parasha begins. Yaakov Avinu, he leaves Eretz Canaan, he goes and he sees there's a sulam, Mutz of Arza. And let's really go to the second pasuk. Vayivka b'mokoyim, vayolon shem kivo ha-shemesh, vayikach me'avne ha-mokoyim, he takes from the stones of the mokoyim, vayosem mira'a shoysa, vayishkav, he lies down b'mokoyim ha-hu. Rashi, why does the pasuk say b'mokoyim ha-hu, l'shoyn miut? This was the first time Yaakov Avinu got a good night's sleep. Why? Be'oisai mokom shochaf aval yud dalit shonim sheshimesh bebeis aver. In my girsa here in the article Chumash, it says bebeis aver. Loy shochaf balayla. Other girsayas have bebeis shame, bebeis shame ve'aver. Okay, the whole question as to whose base medish this was. Loi shochav ba'layla shoyu oisek ba'torah. He was oisek in learning Torah. Yaakov Avinu, according to Rashi, the way we've been taught since from our youth, is that when Yaakov Avinu left the home of his father and mother, Yitzchak and Rivka, as they instructed him to go to Aram Naharayim, to Choron, to find a zivuk, he took a detour, made a detour, and he first stopped off at the Beis Medrash of Rashi, or says Aver, and he learned there for 14 years in Koilo. I have no idea. Excellent question. I have no idea. I have no idea how did they learn in ancient times. What was the method, the technique? There were no books. Torah wasn't given yet. What does it mean? Okay, it's not for now. I have no idea. No idea. We have emunas chazal. There was a very intense form of study. He spent 14 years learning, doing the impossible, did not even sleep. And Rad Balaila Hahu, only here did he sleep. But the 14 years that he spent learning in Beis Medrash of Aver, he did not learn. Now let's go through did not sleep. So let's go through the chronology. He left the home of Rivka and Yitzchak. He made a detour. He first spent 14 years learning Torah. After 14 years, they threw him out. He then went to Choron, where he was supposed to go, and now he goes to sleep in this location, which happened to be the Har HaMoriah. Rashi explains the whole story. Okay, so first was the learning, and then was the dream. And in the dream, he sees the Malach Elokim Olim V'Yoredim Bo. Now, where was the Beis Medrash? It would appear the Beis Medrash was in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan. Choron is outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's Bavel, right? Choron is Bavel. It's Aram Naharayim.
Syria?
No, is it Syria? Where? That's so simple. Choron is Syria?
I think it's Eastern Syria.
Okay, whatever. Okay, whatever it is, it's his family. Avraham Avinu originally came from Aram Naharayim, which Aram Naharayim, that's where his family. Okay, whatever it is, okay, it's whatever it is. He went to Chutz La'aretz, and in between the Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, there was a dream of a sulam. The Malachi Elokim, Chazal tell us the Malachi Eretz, there's a changing of the guards. Changing of the guards, that now he would be given special Malachim that would accompany him in Chutz Li'aretz, and the Malachim that are Miyuchid for Eretz Yisrael, they would depart. Now, there's a problem here. The problem in the Pasuk is, the Pasuk says that he has this dream, the whole long story, the whole story go on, and we conclude the very first Aliyah of Ha'evet HaZoyis Asher Samti Matzeva Yebeis L'kivuch L'Asher Atitin Li Aser Asrenu Loch. Period. Peruch of Tess. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. Vayelech Artsa V'nei Kedem. Wait a minute. Where was he supposed to go, Yaakov Avinu? To Choron. Choron. Vayetze Yaakov Meber Shova, the very first pasuk of the parasha. Vayelech Choron. And now he makes a detour of 14 years. And then he goes on his way to Choron. He continues on to Choron. And then he has this dream. He wakes up in the morning, and it's a, what would you expect? He should now finally go to his destination, to Choron. And it says, he wakes up the next morning, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, after this whole story, Vayelech Arts of the land, Vinei Kedem. What? Kedem? He's supposed to go to Choron. So what are you going to answer? Well, Choron and Bnei Kedem are the same thing.
No, they're not. They're the same direction.
The same direction.
Choron means
towards Choron. Right, so you're giving answers. This is what they taught us in elementary school. Choron, Rashi says, towards Choron. And now, don't you think the pasuk should be clear? If you were an editor, no one here would write, now, when he wakes up after the dream, he would go, Vayis Yaakov Raglov Vayelech Artsa V'nei Kedem. My high. So there's a shocking Paneach Raza. If I'm not mistaken, there's a Rishon. Rabbi Chol, is that correct? Is Paneach Raza? I think there's a Rishon. And he says, Kedem? Well, there's a Pasuk. There is a Pasuk in the Torah that tells us who lived in the B'nei Kedem, in Bereishis. The Pasuk says, I actually wrote it down. I hope I wrote it down. Here's the pasuk. Yaakov v'loelim
v'nei kedem. Abram gave to the
le'ever yulad shnei vanim. He went to the Beis Medrash of Ever. Rashi says, okay, that's our girsa. Le'ever yulad shnei vanim. Vayihi moishavam boachos sefara. Har HaKedem. Kedem. There's a place called Har HaKedem. A mountain in the place of Eretz Kedem. There's a mountain there. And that is where the children of Aver live. Now, if that's where the children of Aver live, Mestama, that's where the Beis Medrash of Aver is. So the Paneach Raza says something, not like Rashi. I'm assuming he's a Rishon, the Paneach Raza. It's very, you always hear about the Paneach Raza. And he says, he learns Pashup Shat, is that Yaakov Avinu went to learn in the Beis Medrash of Aver after the dream. In other words, the chronology is totally different than anything you've ever heard in Yeshiva Ketana. The chronology is, Yitzchak and Rivka say to Yaakov, Yaakov, it's time for you to leave. Rivka says, your life is in danger. Get out of here. Yitzchak doesn't seem to say that, but he says, it's time for you to get married. And Yaakov goes on his merry way. According to the Paneach Raza, he immediately goes L'Choron, as the Pasuk says. Doesn't say he went to Beis Medrash. Doesn't say he went to Kol. His father said, go, you go. Vayetze Yaakov miber shava vayel L'Choron. Immediately, this parasha continues immediately from the previous parasha. He's on the border. He comes to the border of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. He goes to sleep. He has a dream. He sees the changing of the guards, the Malachi Elohim. He's inspired. He's shaken up. He wakes up in the morning. He makes a neder. The experience of the dream was so overwhelming, was so powerful. Now, change of plan. I'm not going yet to Choron. I'm going to first make a detour and go to the Beis Medrash of Aver to learn for 14 years. And that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says he woke up in the morning, the next day he woke up in the morning and he goes to he goes to Vayiso Yaakov Rachel Vayelech Artsa V'nei Kedem. Who's in B'nei Kedem? Well, doesn't Rashi say? Rashi says that he went to learn, the tradition is he went to learn in the base medrash of Aver. Vayishkav v'mokoy mahu. In that place he slept, but did not sleep 14 years in Aver. Exactly. Okay, so then the problem is Vayar, Vinei Ve'er Basodeh. So according to the Paneach Roza, I know, it bothers me very much. Vayar, Vinei Ve'er Basodeh. There's a gap of 14 years between the Soif Posuk of Vnei Kedem and Vayar, Vinei Ve'er Basodeh. Or maybe not. Or maybe there's another whole part of the story that we're not really aware with. It's very interesting, though, when you read over here, you read the next pasuk, it says, he asked them, Vayar v'nei v'er v'asodeh, v'nei sham, shloish edrei tzoyim, revs m'olecha, ki min aber ha'yash kusoyim, for v'nes sham kodorim. Okay, further, Vayom elohem Yaakov, achai, me'ayin atem, Vayomru mechoron anochnu. What? Isn't that where we are right now? If I go to New York, and I say, where are you from? We're from New York. Well, of course you're from New York, because we're in New York. Right? What kind of question and answer is this? Why is he even asking, where are you from? You didn't see the sign, welcome to Brooklyn? When you crossed the Brooklyn Bridge, you didn't see the sign? Welcome to Brooklyn? Where? What do you mean? Where? What kind of, and what's the answer? We're from Brooklyn. It makes a lot of sense. He went to B'nai Kedem. B'nai Kedem has nothing to do with Choron. Yaakov went to learn in the Beis Medrash of B'nai Kedem. And guess who he happened to find in B'nai Kedem? There happened to be the family of Lavan relocated. They relocated from Choron to Kedem. It was outside of the Beis Medrash. He sat in the Beis Medrash for 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Aver. No, it's now time to get married. He walks out the front door and he's on his way. Oh, no, where is Choron? You want to go to Choron? You go out to that road, hitch a ride to Choron. He walks there and all of a sudden he sees all there on his way, coming out of the Beis Medrash. He sees sheep and people walking around. We're not locals, we're immigrants. We really came from Choron. We relocated over here. Rachel, the whole story goes on. That's how the psukim read according to the Paneach Roza. But according to Rashi is not explicit, but according to the way we commonly understand Rashi, you got it all wrong. Yaakov Avinu never went to Kedem. Sorry, you got it all wrong. Yaakov Avinu went first to the Beis Medrash of Aver. Where is the Beis Medrash of Aver? I don't know where it is. He went there first. Doesn't say where it is. And then after 14 years, he left. He graduated, got his degree, and then he went on his journey to get married. And now he falls asleep, has the dream, he wakes up in the morning, makes a neder, and now he continues on his merry way to Choron to get married. So who's right? Gesundheit. When did Yaakov Avinu learn Torah? Did Yaakov Avinu learn Torah before the dream? Or did Yaakov Avinu learn Torah after the dream? Is Rashi correct? Rashi of Torah seems to be the Pshuto Shel Mikra, and Rashi has support. Vayishka Balayla Hahu, that night. But everything until now, there was no sleep. But yet the Panech, what? Oh, so you want me with Daik and Rashi, but that's not, I agree with you, but that's not the way the only one's Rashi. Oh, I'm coming there. Or did Yaakov Avinu, you have the deek of the Paneach Roza, B'nai Kedem. Yaakov first went to learn afterwards. So I want to say a wild chiddush. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Each one has a makar. There's Balayla Hahu, but until now there was no learning. And then it says he went to Kedem. He went to the Beis Medrash. Kedem is a place of Aver. And also you should be aware that the years in Rashi, we have in Rashi, went to Aver. The other Gersois in Rashi studied in two Batei Midrashim. In the Beis Medrash, you have to go check all the Chumashim. I'm surprised, Oscar, usually they like to give you all the options in the Oscar Chumash, and I'm not sure why over here they have to see Maybe they felt this was the most authentic edition of Rashi, but you have to study the various editions of Rashi. I remember once learning about this. Which base Medrash did Yaakov Avinu study in? Because Rivka, who in Canaan, they had a mice of Canaan, in Canaan, where Rivka by Yisroitzu Habon and Bikirba. Where Yaakov did not leave Canaan. He was an Oila Tamima. Yitzchak did not leave Canaan. He was an Oila Tamima. So when his Rivka was pregnant, they were in Canaan. Vayelech Lidroish Es Hashem. Who's Hashem? Shame. So shame is the local yeshiva. So what's Yaakov running away to a new yeshiva? Why, if you want to go take a detour, what are you going to Ava? Go sit in the local. You have to go to Eretz Yisrael. There are not enough yeshivas in Brooklyn to learn. Stay in local yeshiva. What's going on? There are different girsois. In which base she went to. If we can suggest drush, okay. I'm not saying this is correct, but look at machloikis rishonim. I'm not the first one to go say we have machloikis rishonim. There's a mitzvah to be miyashev the rishonim elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Yaakov Avinu, he left. Before I'm going to go, I'm going to sit and learn to prepare myself for what's about to happen, from my experience. Where am I going to go? Local. I have a yeshiva right in the neighborhood. Esav will never come kill me locally. It'll be a scandal. He hid himself in the Beis Medrash, the local Beis Medrash of shame, locally. Because there was a Gersh and Rashi, he went to shame the Eva. And then, after he spent a period of time, maybe 7 years, you know, 14 is a funny number.
Splitting it up.
14, funny number. 7 years, whatever, because you have to make the calculation, because the numbers are, he only spent 14 years learning. Because the calculation of his life, of working for Lavan, for Rachel, for Leah, for working for himself, so you have to say he didn't spend more than 14 years learning. It's a funny number, 14. Seven is a number we have more satisfaction. Seven, it takes 7 years to learn Daf Yomi. He did one machzor in the Beis Medrash of Shame, and another machzor of Daf Yomi in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, two machzorim. So 7 years, and then he goes on his journey after 7 years, and he has this inspirational dream. And this dream shook him up, shook him to the core. And he said to himself, you know what? I'm going to go back and learn for another 7 years. I need to learn another 7 years before I proceed on my mission. And that is the point I want to make. And that is, Yaakov Avinu, he taught Klal Yisrael an incredible chiddush. There's no such thing as graduating. Yaakov Avinu, if you learn the psukim according to the Pshutus Shel Mikra, you misled. Person, you go to yeshiva, elementary school, high school, you learn, you graduate. You get a degree, you're done, you're finished. And now the rest of your life, it's just, you draw from the education, like in the secular world, once you get your degree, you're done. You're done, you go get a job, and you know, so there's enrichment, adult education, but it's not the same. It's not with the same frame of mind. Of course, it's not going to be the same amount of time. That's a given, it's not going to be the same amount of time. But what is your frame of mind when an adult goes, after an adult, he goes to a doctor. It's an intense program. To go to medical school is no joke. Go to a good medical school, you sit and you study, you break your head, and then you become a resident, your fellowship. You work your head off to learn, to really learn under the biggest and the best. Okay, people who are serious students in medicine, they don't just want to go take any fellowship, any residency. They want to be able to go and do their fellowship or their residency by the biggest doctors to study and learn shimush under the biggest and the best. So then when they finally get their degree and they have their own practice, that's it. So they take a course, there's a convention to learn what's the latest. It's not with the same geschmack, the same intensity, the same degree. Yaakov Avinu originally was in that same frame of mind. He spent 14 years learning in the Beis Medrash. I'm now going to get married. I'm now going to have to go to work. My derech is to go. My parents have told me to go to Lavan to get a job and to get married, to have children, to go to work. I have to prepare. Prepare means I have to go sit and learn. Okay? I sat and learned. Now I'm ready to go. He has a dream. And in the dream, he sees the Malach Elokim, Oilim V'yardim Ba'in, the Ribbon Shel Olam. He tells him a whole series of brachos. And I didn't spend the time being big all the diyukim. But all we need to derive at the moment is that experience changed his appreciation of his education. Is that I thought I knew it all. I thought that I'm done. I got my degree. Vayishkav balaylo hahu. Now I can sleep. Bamokoy mahu. And that mokoy, I got my degree. I'm done. And Hashem said to him, I'm sorry to tell you, you're never done. Klal Yisrael, what's the beautiful lashon, the first words of the Mesilas Yesharim. What is a person's tafkit in this world? And the first sentence there says a person has to know what he needs to be omel b'chol yomav, every day of his life. Hashem gave, in this experience, it was a rude awakening, pun intended. He went to sleep. And there was a rude awakening. You think you're done? You think you can go to sleep? What, are you kidding? You think you're done for life? Yaakov had this problem later on in his life. He thought that after all of his service were over, now, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. That wasn't the first time Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov had this problem with being Bikesh Leishev B'Shalva. Vayishkav b'mokoyim ahu. Hashem said, sorry, buddy, you don't sleep in this world. Get back to work. And it's exactly what he did. He woke up the next day, renewed, reinvigorated, and where did he go? He went to the Beis Medrash. He went to a different Beis Medrash, to B'nai Kedem. A different Beis Medrash. Further development for another period of time before he can go on and accomplish his mission.
He did find 14 years by Rabbi Akiva, he learned it 14 years.
Yeah. 14 years, which turned into that, right, okay, Nechanami, Nechanami, okay, sorry. Okay.
To
quote
what you just said, to do the math, Shane died 7 years after Yaakov ran away.
Really?
So it's perfect then.
Yeah, I said it.
So then it's 7 years.
If we say, it says in the Zeich Island that Shane lived 600 years, that would mean he died in 2173, which is 7 years after Yaakov ran away. Mm-hmm.
So this changes everything. This, when you take these two diyukim, Rashi, the Paneach Raza, whatever Mayevsky is saying, that the math works out that Shem died exactly 7 years after Yaakov Avinu left Rivka and Yitzchak, it changes everything. It's a whole new story. Yaakov learned for a period of time, I'm ready to get married. He has a dream. When he comes to the border, Hashem says to him, what do you think, you're finished? You have a degree, no more learning. You want to go to sleep. That's not the way a Jew lives his life. You have to know, as it says, the Mesilas Yesharim, what is your tafkid, what you need to be omel, kol yimei chayof, every single day. And Yaakov got the message. He went now to B'nai Kedem. He did not go to Choran. He went to learn in the Beis Midrash of Eiver. And then he happened there, in that place, to find the Zivuk. Happened there. They came to him. Pumfaket. Doesn't say he ever went to Choran. Doesn't say anywhere he went to Choran. It says he went to B'nai Kedem. And B'nai Kedem, where are you? Oh, we're from Choran. What are you doing here? Hashem brought us here. You know why Hashem brought us here? Because you're sitting and learning here. And because you're sitting and learning here, you're the magnet. And we end up coming here so you wouldn't have to come schlep to us. And he ended up marrying Rachel Malaya. Yeah.
But it was Eivar Yarden?
It doesn't say. I don't know. Where is Kedem?
Where's the Yarden right after the dream or whatever?
I don't know where Kedem is. I have no idea. I can't answer. I don't know where it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Now, I also want to go a step further in this. And that is, what?
So this is what we are doing here, the second chance?
What? Kiraboisai, now I want to go a step further. Maiseh avos. Rabboisai, please, Rabboisai. If this idea is true, we can have an appreciation, gesundheit, that we, in Torah, Chazal say, "B'machashakim hoyshevani ki meisei olam." Chazal tell us there are two Talmud, more as a drasha. There is Gzuntai Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, and Chazal go in detail to tell us there are major fundamental differences between the Derech Halimud of Eretz, it's all of Shas, the Derech Halimud of the Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael verse, the Derech Halimud of Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. There's a Talmud Yerushalmi and a Talmud Bavli. In Eretz Yisrael, they were noichim zeh b'zeh b'halach. They were bali midos. What do you say? That's very nice. Let me bring a raya. What do you say? Very nice. What do you say? They were very polite. In Bavel, what did you say? Are you out of your mind? Get out of this space medish. And it was mochanta shel Torah. Each one has a maila and a chesaron. And the shleimus, as clear as day, the shleimus of Torah can only be achieved with both the Torah of Eretz Yisrael together with the Torah of Chutz Li'aretz. Talmud Bavli with Talmud Yerushalmi. Each one has a maila that compensates for the other. Today we primarily focus on Talmud Bavli. Okay, that's how it is. But we know today, you know, but this Talmud Yerushalmi and Eretz Yisrael, you know, we understand that there's a different mahalach in life, a hashkafa and Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Li'aretz. The whole mahalach, you know, Bavli. Every time, what is the Talmud always doing? Yeah. It's always coming to make contradictions in Mishnayos. How do you answer the contradictions in the Bavli? Always hocha b'mayaskinon, hocha b'may. This Mishnah is discussing this case, and this Mishnah is discussing this case. What are they doing in the Yerushalmi? This is like Rebbe, and this is like Rebbe Meir. Very different derech. The Mishnayis are discussing every case. Don't limit the cases. Limit the author. That's the derech of the Yerushalmi. Okay, there's a different mahalich. Each mahalich, elu v'elu, diri elokim chayim, they come in one another. Ma'aseh avos simin labanim. Where does it come from? According to the way we're learning Shah and the Pasuk, when we combine Rashi with the Panei Achraza, it all comes from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Canaan, and Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak and Rivka said, it's time for you to leave. Before he left, he was Nitzman in the Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash of who's in Eretz Yisrael? The Toiras Eretz Yisrael. Ein Torah ki Toiras Eretz Yisrael. Uzahav ha'oretz ahi toiva. And then, I got my degree, I'm done. I can go to sleep. The Rebbein Shalom said, what? Go to sleep? What are you kidding? Get up. Go back and learn. Go, there's another derech to learn. You have to learn more. And Yaakov Avinu, he went to Bnei Kedem to another, the Torah of Chutz Li'aretz. He crossed the border, Talmud of the Bavel, to compensate, to be mashlim, the shleimus of the learning. Ma'aseh avos simin labanim. We in Klal Yisrael today have two Talmudim. Each one is choser. One, you cannot learn one without the other. You know, many Piskei Halacha are based upon Yerushalmis, not based upon Bavlis. Okay, you cannot be a Pesach Hadar unless you're a Baki Muflig in both Bavli and Yerushalmi. The two of them, they go together. It's Merumas here in this week's Parsha. Okay, let's discuss another part, another new idea. Let's go to an entirely new idea. This week we learn all about Lavan Ho'arami. Lavan, you can say from Aram, the nation of Aram, or as we like to translate it, the deceiver, the Ramai. The deceiver, the cunning deceiver. Chazal say, Bikesh Arami Oyved Ovi. Who is this Arami? In the Haggadah, it's not Haggadah, it's the Bikurim. In the Parsha of Bikurim, when we start the Bikurim, we begin Arami, the farmer puts down the fruit in front of the Mizbeach, and he says the vidui, Arami Oyviravi. We say this psukim is the highlight of the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Who is the Arami? If you look at the Mefarshim, it's not so simple who the Arami is, but 99% of the population will answer without blinking, it's Lavan Ho'arami. Bikesh Lakor Es Hakol. He wanted to uproot everything. Really? Show me. Cite me chapter and verse. Show me where he wanted to be oiker es hakol. You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle very hard. You're right. There are probably 100 answers. I'm not exaggerating. Find me. Show me chapter and verse. Where do we see that Lavan was so wicked? He wanted to be oiker the whole Yadus, the Gans Klal Yisrael. Where? So there are a lot of answers. Probably the most popular answer is last week's is Parshas Chayisara, where they wanted to poison Eliezer. And by poisoning Eliezer, who was the one that put the poison in front of Eliezer? Lavan. Lavan put the poison in front of Eliezer. And who ended up eating it? His own father. He's a Ratzeach. He killed his father. Okay, he killed his father. You say it's manslaughter? Negligent manslaughter? Well, how many years will he get for that? Okay, he killed his own father. Okay, Lavan put the poison in front of his father, in front of Eliezer. And someone switched. And Besuel ate the poison. Besuel does. So who killed his own father? A Rasha Marusha. We'll say it was an accident. Such accidents are Karv Lemezid. Okay? So this is why if he would have killed Eliezer, everyone heard this Vart, if he killed Eliezer, so now Avraham would assume that Eliezer made Shiduchim. He was a Mekadisher. She's now so Yitzchak is now married, and now Yitzchak cannot marry anyone else because it might be her sister, it might be her mother, it might be her daughter, it might be a relative. So now Yitzchak will not be able to get married because who knows, it might be an erva. Okay, that's a drush. I'm not very excited about it. You all heard that. There's no question that at the Seder, someone told you that Vart. Right, you'll tell me another 100 answers to this question. I want to give you now another answer. A new answer you've never heard before. A new answer. And I really believed why, because this answer resonates with me. And that's why I think there's something to this answer. And that is, there's a pasuk in this week's parasha that says it all. Explains everything. What? No, that's not. No,
it says educate by
no guessing.
Yaakov comes to Lavan. And they're sitting there for a month, and then he says to then Yaakov says to him, I want to marry your daughter. I saw this nice young lady, Rachel, by the well. I already kissed her. I want to marry her. I want to marry her. So he says, he thinks about it, and he says, you know what? Okay. Toiv titi oisoch.
Oisoch.
Titi oisah loch mititi oisah leish acher. Again, toiv titi oisah loch. Better, I shall give her to you, mititi oisah, than giving her in marriage leish to another man. You want to marry her? In other words, in essence, what did he say? He said, Yaakov, there's a shidduch crisis. There's a real shidduch crisis. It's very hard for me to find a good man for my daughter. So you know what the Shadchanim told me? Settle for what you can get. If you have a guy here who wants to marry your daughter, and he's not ideal, it's not what you want, he's not a doctor, he's not a lawyer, he doesn't have parnasa, he's not what you had in mind, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Take him. There's nothing you can do. That's life. There's a shidduch crisis. Take what you can get. This statement is the ultimate. So what? So he goes and he says to Yaakov, listen, the Shadchanim told me, this is the best I can do. Toiv titi oisa loch, mititi oisa le'ish acher. Yaakov, in my eyes, you are a piece of garbage. Really, you're a piece of garbage. You're the last thing in the world that I want. The last thing in the world. I'll settle for you, and you should know that. A good person who has to deal with this situation, keep it to yourself. Not every thought has to be said. Not everything you think in your mind. I read yesterday, if it's the thought that counts, then I would be in jail. right?
Everybody
will be in jail. Not everything you think you have to say. The essence of Lavan is, Yaakov, I want you to know, you're going to live with me for 20 years. And every day you're going to come to my table and we're going to chazer. We're going to review this yesoit. You're a piece of garbage. And the only reason why I'm giving you to my daughter is because Nebuch, there's no one else out there. I want you to know how I do not appreciate who you are. You're not what I want. Know that you're worthless in my eyes. And it's just, no, what could I do? This is Bikesh Lavan La'akor Es Hakol. When you put into the mind of another person, of a child, of a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, a friend, an employee, a parent, anyone that you deal with in this world, you know, I really, really despise you. But what can I do? I'm stuck. This is poisonous. It changes a person's frame of mind. It changes outlook. It brings depression. It's called abuse. Okay, in today's world, we call this abuse. What else do you want to call this? Years ago, they would never use that word for such an outlook. Today, the world got smart. They got to the realization that this is called abuse. When you go and you talk down to people, bullying people, you talk down. This is called. It's like a rebbeim also. I really want to be a Rosh Hashiva. No, I have to go teach you shvacha people, you idiots. I have to go. The rule is, whatever you have is the best. It's the most valuable. There can be nothing more choshev in this world than what I have. I told you this incredible story. A person has a child. The child is a terror, a horror. It's committed every crime on the book plus a lot more. And the principal finally had enough after 100 warnings. He calls in the parents to tell them, your kid is out. He's expelled. There is nothing to discuss. All the money in the world, all the connections are not going to change the decision of the yeshiva. Your child is no longer can sit in this yeshiva. And the parent walks in and the principal tells them all of the complaints and says, and the parent says, what? What? You're telling me you have a school here. There are 100 students, and you're telling me that he's not number one? He's not the top? He's not the best? He's not going to be the valedictorian? What, are you crazy? You're telling me that he's not number one? Here the principal is telling him that he's not even one, not even 100. He's zero. He's out in the street. The child is a terror. And the parents, what? My child is the best student in the entire school. And the shock that the principal had, the attitude that the parent really believes that his child is the best of the best, totally caused the principal to melt, and he didn't throw him out. Because when a parent believes in their child that you're the best, it's not new. This is what Hashem gave me. No, I would much, much rather have someone else as my child. But no, this is what Hashem gave me. It's poison to say to a son-in-law, you're worthless. If this is your son-in-law, he's the best.
Why is it only Bikesh? Why is it son-in-law?
Bikesh, because he tried to put this out. He told him this. He tried to poison his mind. That was the koyach of Yaakov Avinu. He did not let this affect him. He was able to overcome this toxic environment where he was always being put down and abused psychologically that you're not what I really want. That is the ultimate Bikesh Lavan La'akar Es Hakol. How do I know this is the pshat? How do I know that I'm right, if I may say so? Because why do you say this when you bring Bikurim? You bring Bikurim, the first words to come out of the mouth of the farmer is, Arami Oyved Avi, come on. You have nothing better to say. Arami Oyved Avi, come on. Actually, you want to go? No one in this room will be given the task to find what to say for the Didi with Se'arami Oivirav. No one. You have to go talk about love and love and Bikish Lakar Esakol. You know what the answer is? When the farmer comes, tell him, every farmer comes with the most beautiful fruit. Everyone comes. Some they come with rotten tomatoes. Everyone comes, whatever they got. You got whatever you got. So the Shiva Saminim, Chazal say, a poor man comes in a wicker basket, and the rich man comes in a gold basket. Every person lines up by the Mizbeach, and they look at the other guy. What does he have? And Chazal say, if you're rich, you get your basket back. But if you're poor, not only do you give the fruit away, you got to give the basket away. Basala anya ozla aniyusa. So you come, here's my fruit. Look who the guy behind you. What does he have? Well, he lives in this very fancy land where there's a lot of water. Eretz Yisrael is a big place. All different types of produce. All different types of lands. All different types of climates. Everyone has what to complain about. Everyone can also say, listen, there are people that have a lot less than me. People who walk around, you know, it's a tremendous brach. Whatever you think you have, it's tzaris, rachman l'tzlan. People have a lot worse. They have a lot worse, infinitely worse. But that's not the correct attitude. It's not a healthy attitude to walk around. Listen, I have to be thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to be thankful. I got a lot of problems, but you know, people have a lot less. People have a lot less than. So therefore, I have to be very. But am I happy? I'm not happy. I'm really, really bitter with my lot, but listen, you know, I should be thankful for what I have. It's true. That is absolutely correct, but that's not the way to live. The way to live is, what I have is the best. If this is what Hashem gave me, this is the best of the best of the best. When the farmer comes, you know what he says? She'eincha kafui toiva. That's the words of Rashi. The whole mahos of Bikurim is, you come, you bring to the Ribbono Shel Olam a token gift before She'eincha kafui toiv. What kind of appreciation is it to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you very much for the delicious, delicious figs. But you know, I don't like figs. I like dates. I like grapes. Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you for the grapes. But you know, I like purple grapes, not yellow grapes, not red grapes. So She'eincha kafui toiva. You know how you say She'eincha kafui toiva? I have the best. I have the best of the best of the best. And therefore, you know what I want to say? Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not like that menuvel, Lavan. Because Lavan said to Yaakov, Bikesh Arami Oyved Avi. Because Lavan, for 20 years, kept on pounding away at Yaakov Avinu. No! Toiv titi oisoloch, mititi oisole ishacher. Yaakov, I don't appreciate you. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave me you. You're my Edim. You're my son-in-law. Oh, Rachmana Litzlan, such a son-in-law. What could I do? What could I do? Every day I say on you, Dayan HaEmes. That's what it was. I'm not like that. That's what Bikurim is. She'eincha kafui toiva. Not being kafui toiva doesn't just mean, no, people have less than what I have. Some people don't even have Bikurim, don't even have land. As Adam, Asher nosat olanu. Don't even have land. I'm not like him. I fully, fully cherish every little mashahu that you've given me. That is Bikurim. And that's why this pasuk has to be, okay, I'm just joking with you over here, but it, obviously this pasuk has to be, there has to be some truth to what I'm trying to say over here, is that Bikesh Lavan La'akares HaKol, cite me chapter and verse, I got it for you. Toiv titi oisoloch, mititi oisol ishacher. You don't have to say it. And certainly you shouldn't even believe it. That's for sure. You shouldn't even believe such a thing. And ad kidei kach, you say it and you compound it, that is pretty frightening. And that is the lesson to learn from Lavan, not to be like this fellow Lavan. Oh, excellent. Mito, excellent. See, he supports it. Don't even talk. Mito, you see what he says? He brings Sariah. Don't say toiv and ra. Toiv titi mitiyasalicha. This is the best I can do. That attitude is poisonous. Poisonous attitude. This is very much apropos for our generation, where we're so sensitive to this, to attitude, to how much, how you deal with other people. It's not just what you, how you conduct yourself, but it's not just dollars and cents. It's an attitude, especially when it comes to children and it comes to other people. It has to be a value to fully appreciate what you have is the best of the best. Okay, let's talk about another idea. Going back in the beginning of the parasha, I saw something which really drew my attention. Yaakov comes to the well. Now, what I'm telling you now is not a complete idea, and I have something really more to think about. But we'll try to follow through the best that we can. Yaakov comes to the well, and he sees the people at the well. What are they doing? They're loitering. Okay, you ever see a sign? No loitering. Right? You see that sign all over the place? No loitering. They're loitering. What are you guys doing here? My high. There's a big stone, and we can't move the stone until everyone comes together, and we're going to move the stone. We're going to water the sheep. In the meantime, everyone's taking out their phone. And it's like the subway. The subway, the cell phone was invented for the subway. New York City subway, it's the biggest bracha. Years ago on the subway, everyone's looking around, talking, fighting. Now everyone is a zombie. Never saw some zombies in the whole life. You go on the subway, every single person, has this thing, looking at this thing on the subway. If they would take a picture and send this back in time, no one would believe.
People used to read the newspapers, no more.
That's right. They have free newspapers on the subway. Because after you read the newspaper and the train, you leave it there for the next guy. That's true. It's really true. Now, well, it's all on the phone now. No, the newspaper's on the phone. But people playing, you watch what they're doing on, it's funny what people are doing on the phone. Okay. They're loitering. Now, there's a very important pasuk. There's a very important deek in this pasuk, which I saw in the Sefer, which drew my attention. And he sees what they're doing. Okay, let me just find the place. Here it is. And the pasuk says, and then the pasuk says some very, very fascinating words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. Veheshivu es ho'even al pi ha-be'er. Lim koima. The people come there. They never take out a sefer. They always tell you, take out a sefer. Make sure you put the sefer back on the shelf. Right? It should be obvious. Why is it necessary for the pasuk to say that they returned the stone al pi habeer lim koima? There's a big stone on the well. They're all loitering. They're waiting. Then they're all going to come, they're going to roll off the stone. Now, Mestavra, tomorrow, they're going to come and do the same thing again. If they're going to do the same thing again tomorrow, how is the stone going to get back onto the opening of the well? It's normal, you could assume that when they finish watering all of the animals, they all got together and put the stone back on top of the opening. So if the Pasuk would not say these words, if the Pasuk would omit these seven words, Veheshivu, Es ho'even al pi ha-be'er lim koima, no one would even know that they're missing. It's self-assumed. They all come together, they move the stone, they water the sheep, and then what? Everyone goes home? If there's a reason why there's a stone on the well, because supposedly there's not enough water, and they don't want people, supposedly we assume there's not enough water. Right? Or the dust, whatever it is. There's a reason. This is a society. This is a society that have instituted, that they put specifically a very massively large stone that one person cannot move. They all need to be together to remove the stone. There must be a reason. They don't want it to get dirty. They don't want someone to fall in the hole, in the well. There's not enough water in the well. They don't want people taking advantage. So they all put it together. They all have to be present to take it off. So of course they're going to put it back on. So why is it necessary for the pasuk to say these seven words? So he was saying, well, listen, don't ask me such kashas. The reason why, there must be a reason, because Yaakov now goes, and he sees Rachel coming. Oh, here comes Rachel. Yaakov single-handedly, Superman, he picks up the stone, he takes it off. And it doesn't say anywhere that he puts it back on. Doesn't say. What's going on here? Go get water. They say, no, we can't. We have to wait everyone to come together. Rivka comes. What does he do? Vayogel eso even me alpia be'er vayashki waters esoin lavan achi imo. Nowhere does it say that Yaakov was so kind to put the stone back on the opening of the well. And then he says to them, get out of here. He tells them, Hashku atzon luchu, that was really before, he tells them, what are you loitering? What are you sitting around over here? Oi, what's in your business to tell us what to do? You're a newcomer here. All of a sudden you show up and you tell the people, Vayom lachem Yaakov. Yaakov says, Ace, Vayom hein od hayom gadol. Lo ace, heyosef hamikneh. Hashkurat soin uluchuru. Excuse me. First live here. It's not your business. You become a citizen. We'll have a referendum and you'll vote and you'll cast your vote. And in the meantime, excuse me. And then Yaakov goes, he takes off the stone and he doesn't put it back. My high. So there's something going on over here. So I want to suggest as follows. Now, it's not a complete verse, something to think about, but I think what is, in society, obviously they had a reason. They had a reason why they put the stone on top of the well. Why? I would say there's not enough water, right? There's a limited supply of water. It's not fair. Someone take advantage. They don't want the dust to fall in, or they don't want someone's going to get hurt. So they made this brilliant law. They enacted a takana, a brilliant law. People should not, society, everyone has to be together. Yaakov Avinu said, you're a bunch of phonies. You're a bunch of phonies. You created a law in society and you claim the reason why you made this law is for the betterment of society. You know why you made this law? Because look who's coming down the road now. A young, single girl. A pretty girl. It says she was beautiful. You want to loiter. You want to sit around and just and take advantage of other people, waste time, waste the time of your employer, not to go and work, to go and do what needs to be done. You want to go and look at pretty girls and sit around and have a good time. And it's all in the name of the betterment of society. It's all because we have to have a society. People should not take advantage. Yaakov says, no one is falling into this well. Come on. There are safeguards here. Dust has not fallen into the amount of dust that's going to fall into this well is so negligible that it's irrelevant. There's not enough water? Don't worry. There's more than enough water for everyone, even if someone sits the whole day and draws water from the well. So what did you make this crazy law for? You know why? Because you're a bunch of lazy people. Because you don't want to work. And because you want to wait and watch pretty girls come to the well and you can flirt with them. Yaakov Avinu, what he did was, he took off the stone off the well permanently. The pasuk begins by saying they all got together. The main point of the pasuk is not We need everyone to come together to put the stone on the well. The main point of the pasuk is Yaakov comes and he sees a society where they put the stone back on top of the well. Why? We have good reason to do so. The government is corrupt. The government that has enacted this law is enacting laws not because it really cares about society. It cares about this selfish reasons. There are selfish interests that are being people are being taken advantage of. You make a law, you put a massively large, so everyone should come together. You make believe it's because you want to be good, you want to be good people. The truth is, the reason why you made this law is because you want to satisfy your own desires. You don't want to work. You want to take advantage of other people's work. You want to go and loiter and do things which are bala avera. The purpose of this event was to say, Yaakov, to society, loy eis heosef hamikneh, it's od hayoyim godol lo eis heosef hamikneh hashku hatzon luchu re'u. This is nonsense. I'm going to go take off the stone permanently, and no one's ever going to put it back on. And this excuse to sit around and do nothing the whole day and go look at people who come by is going to be over. That's the deeper meaning of what he's giving them, a mussar. He's giving them mussar worth ethic. He's giving them mussar in your purpose in this world is to work, not to sit around and be lazy. And really, if it goes back to what we said before, where does it come from? It comes from the lesson that he just learned. Yaakov, you know, I also went to sleep. Vayishkav b'mokoyim ahu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, he woke me up and said to me, sleeping? Get up. What are you sleeping for? Get to work. Vayelech, he went to B'nai Kedem. He went back for another 14, another period of time to go work. He now took the lesson that he learned from his own experience and he brought it to society. Okay. One last quick vart. Okay, this vart, I once told you part of this vart, and it fits perfectly into this pasuk. Yaakov Avinu comes and he asks, "Nu, is Lavan, do you know, I heard there's a fellow here, his name is Lavan ben Nochor." Always his words in the pasuk. He comes to the society, and he says, "Hayidatem, do you know, are you from the pasuk?
Pasuk,
hey. Pasuk, Vayom Elohim, Hayidatem, es Lavan ben Nochor? Vayomru yodonu, vayomer lohem hashalom loy, vayomru shalom. Two quick questions. Lavan's father was not Nochor. Lavan's father was Besuel. His grandfather was Nochor. Number two, what was the answer? He says, is there shalom loy? And they say, not exactly. Vayomru shalom. I ask, is there shalom loy? No, we're not going to say this. They don't say shalom loy. They just say shalom. Shalom chaverim. Shalom, they don't say loy. What's going on over here? Yaakov Avinu is coming to get married. I also have some requirements for this. You know, I also have demands of what I'm looking for in a zivuk. And you know what I want in a zivuk? I want a girl who comes from a home of Yirei Shamayim. Besuel, I know he's a scoundrel. I know about Besuel. But what about the Zayda? The Zayda was Avraham Avinu's brother. Oh, yeah, they talk about the Maral's brother, the Groz brother, this one's brother, Rambam's brother. They always talk about the Gedolei Yisrael, they always talk about their brothers. Avraham Avinu ato yodati ki ish yirei Elokim ato. The legacy, the hallmark of Avraham Avinu is Yira Shamayim, ato yodati ki. If Avraham was a Yirei Shamayim, maybe Choron also was a Yirei Shamayim. And maybe to some degree it trickled down to his grandson Lavan. So when I want to go marry the daughter, my Shever, Hayidatem, do you know, Lavan, not Besuel, is there any Mashuhu Lachluchis of Yira Shamayim in my future Shver, in Lavan? Yodanu, we know him. Yeah, we know him. And then he says, Hashalom. What does it mean, Shalom? Okay, I told you this many times. What is the translation of peace, Shalom? Every Mitzvah Shabbos, we translate the word Shalom. Okay, we say every Mitzvah, Atochan Antanu. We go, Avinu Malkeinu Hachel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim Likroseinu L'Shalom. And make Ribbono Shel Olam. You know what the word Shalom means? Three things. Chasuchim Mikol Chet, Umenukim Mikol Avoin, Umidubokim B'Yirasecha. Every Mitzvah Shabbos we teach, Shalom means Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Chet, Yiras Shamayim. Umidubokim B'Yirasecha. Hashalom Loi is my Shver, Lavan, Ayore Shamayim. I'm coming here to get married. I have only one condition. It's not money. It's not if the girl is pretty. It's not if the girl is educated. It's not even if she's a balas chesed. I just want one thing. Does she come from a home of Yirei Shamayim? That's my only thing I want to know. Is he identify himself as being the enikol of Avraham Avinu's brother? Ato yadati ki yirei elokim ato. Hashalom loy. And well, the answer is very frightening. You know the answer? They basically say, no, he's not. But he knows what it is. That's a mile and a chasara. Some people don't even know what it means, Yirei Shamayim. They don't even know. Well, what does it mean, Yirei Shamayim? He knows what it is. They told him, in other words, you better watch out. Because if you are not a Yirei Shamayim, he'll see right through you. Lavan, Hashalom lo, is he a Yirei Shamayim? No, we're not saying that he is. But you know something? Vayomru Shalom. He knows what it is. He knows what the real deal is. You can't fake him. If you present yourself as a Koil younger man, as someone who's a Yirei Shamayim, boy, you better be a real Yirei Shamayim. Because maybe someone else you can fake out. Maybe someone else you can fake out. You know how to learn, you know how. Him, you're not going to be able to fake. If you're not a real Yirei Shamayim, you're in trouble. So it's very funny what happened here. Yaakov Avinu over here is coming to say, I'm looking for a family. Yirei Shamayim, I'm going to test the Shver. And they said to him, you're getting the worst of both worlds. Number one, your Shver is not a Yirei Shamayim, but he's going to test you if you're a Yirei Shamayim. That's a very powerful experience. You know, a boy goes out with a girl, you know, the young boys, they go out with the girl, so the father sits them down, come into the house. They sit you down, they tell you, make sure you have a Dvar Torah to say over. You remember your dating days? Yeah. They tell you, you go to Dvar Torah, you have to go, sit down, you have a Dvar Torah. The father sits you down, he asks the questions. He wants to hear a Dvar Torah. He wants to see what's going on. So that's what Yaakov was expecting. And they say to him, so Yaakov, I'm going to ask the Shver to say a Dvar Torah. The Shver is not going to say a Dvar Torah. He's going to ask you to say a Dvar Torah. And he's going to see right through you in a second. It's a whole different type of conversation, which, if I'm going to think about, it changes the whole nature of the relationship. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.